Well, this morning I'm preaching a sermon to you titled Bags, Barrels, Baskets, and Barns. And it's going to make a little more sense in a few moments. But I kind of want to talk about a few things. But if you have your Bibles or if you look on the screen, you know, normally you guys know that I speak usually on Sunday morning in a corporate gathering in the NLT just because we have so many who do not have a background in church. It's an easy understand translation. But this morning, it's my preference of choice, the English Standard Version, but that's what I'm going to be preaching out of this morning. But Deuteronomy chapter 28, we're going to read verses 2 and verses 8 and kind of jump in this thing. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning verse 2 and then verse 8. Verse 2 tells us this, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." But listen to this, if. Do you see that? "All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." Now, when I see that word overtake, my imagery is like, I don't know if you've ever been, anybody ever been in the ocean? Anybody ever been in the ocean? And if you ever got maybe caught in a small riptide or kind of carried away by the current, that's being overtaken. Matter of fact, I had a memory. We were on a camping trip. Glenn, that next door neighbor, took me on my first camping trip, and we were walking through some rapids and junctions, some pretty heavy rapids, and I lost footing and went under, man, and I was overtaken by that white water. And I remember Glenn, to me, it was like a miracle moment because I couldn't breathe. I was sucking in water and I was overrun by water, but I saw a hand come through that water and lift me out and pulled me out of that white water. When we're overtaken, I tell you what, a lot of us in life feel like we're overrun and overtaken by tragedy and difficulty. But as the people of God, listen to me, God's hand can be upon you where he overtakes you with blessing. If, that was a great time for the mic to do whatever it just did, you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Let's look at verse 8, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8. The Lord, listen to this, will command his blessing on you. I mean, think about that. The Lord will command blessing to be on you and your barns and all that you undertake. And he'll bless you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You know, anytime I preach about money or giving or tithing in the church, I always kind of give that fine print about a few things. That it's amazing to me of the people I meet that maybe have been at church sometime or maybe have watched a lot of Christian television. And I'm going to tell you, it's amazing. It really is. I mean, it's like I would say 1 out of 2 people that I encounter and we invite to church and they say, but, you know, I'm fine. But if you talk about money, I'm out. I'm gone. And I mean, that just baffles me. That just blows my mind because biblical giving, generosity, is not about the giving. It's not about the amount. It's about the surrendering of all. Giving says to the Lord, God, you are really my Lord. And when we give, it's part of that, the proofs in the pudding that the Lord has the lordship role in our life. You show me a person that has a hard time hearing, listening about good stewardship and money, and I'll show you somebody that struggles with lordship in their life. So first things first, number one is this, is that God has infinite resources. If your source of your financial strength is your own personal well of resources, I'm going to tell you, you risk of running dry. The source of any blessing is from our Father. Our bank accounts, our abilities, our gifts, our talents are all from God, a source by which he provides for our needs. And by the way, God provides sources according to his riches. I would much rather him provide me according to his riches than my own supply. To experience abundance in any form, we must first see him as the source of every blessing. I mean, the Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything is His anyway. It's not ours. It's all His. The world and those who dwell therein. It's all His. Being a good steward that honors God, it brings blessing to our life. Being a good steward has nothing to do with the amount, with the how much you have or you don't have. God's increase of our resources after we have proven to be good stewards. It's His promise. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, as each of us have received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And yes, it's more than just those talents, the money, but it's our gifting, it's our service, the sweat of our brother. It encompasses so many things. But listen to this. In Luke 16, 11, it tells us about not being a good steward. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, listen to this, who will entrust you to true riches? We have to be good stewards. We have to be good stewards of what God has given us, whether it's a paycheck or it's gifts and talents. Whatever it is that God has bestowed on us, we've got to be good stewards. To be a good steward, you have to have the correct view of ownership. God owns everything. It's all His. Number two, you have to have faith in God's provision and realizing and understanding that, yeah, there may be somebody's name at the bottom right-hand corner of your paycheck, but it's God that's our provider. We must have the right attitude about God, about life, about others, about money, about stewardship. We have to have the right attitude. And it's going to be so hard not to zero in just on attitude. I'm going to be talking about that next week. I'm going to tell you what, God has dealt with me this week like He hasn't in a long time over this very subject. I was almost like going to switch and preach next week's this week, but I had to kind of rein it in and pull the reins back. It's something that has permanently changed my life. There's some things I've seen in Scripture. I can't wait to share it next week. But what about the good steward? Luke 16:10, right above verse 11, we read a second ago. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is dishonest in much. To be a good steward, you are faithful no matter what that amount is. And so here's really the question kind of what I want to get to this morning is, a lot of us, whether we think about it, the way we process it, is what would it take to be set for life? I mean, what is it that you need or that you want, that you think you need, that would have set you up? You're like, I've arrived, I've made it, I've got all that I need, more than enough. What does that look like? And the thing is, of course, most of us, when I say that, maybe a dollar sign, some amount, some tally entered through your head. You know, you thought of something, maybe of what you think you need for retirement or whatever the case may be. There was some kind of amount. But the problem is, problem, and there's an answer in this too, is where are you're in one of seven places. Number one, you're buried in debt. There are those that are just absolutely, completely buried in debt. Completely. I mean, whatever, and you know, it, for any one of us, it's in a different amount. I wish I'd have thought about it and found, do you ever see the commercial of the guy with the big house and he's got all the car, all the stuff, and he's mowing his lawn, you know? And he's kind of like, just kind of looks surreal, you know, kind of. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody, come on, somebody help me. And he's driving, and he's like, how do I have all this? Because I'm in debt up to my eyeballs, you know. Or if you're not buried in debt, maybe you're at a place that you're a dependent. Now, an example of that would be, My kids, they think they have some independence. They have no net worth, but they have no debt either. Well, they have a net worth to me if they empty the dishwasher. But I mean, that's what it is. You have dependence. Maybe it's on the government. Maybe it's on mom and dad. But there is a dependence in your life from other people to make ends meet. Or maybe you're at a third place, and I want to call hand to mouth. I mean, that's just like, you know, I mean, you know what that is, right? I mean, that is you have just enough for the month, for the week. You have just enough. I mean, that money comes in and the money goes out. The money comes in and the money goes. Maybe you got a little bit of savings, maybe not. Maybe you try, you know, maybe you get like a few $1,000 or $500 in savings, and something happens and then it goes out. It comes in and it goes out. Or maybe you're in a fourth place where you have enough. Maybe you have just enough. The hole's not getting deeper. The hole's not getting bigger. You're not having to buy groceries on the credit card. Yeah, I mean, the lights are staying on. I mean, it's just enough. Or maybe you're at another place where it's comfortable. I mean, to me, comfortable would be you're at that place and you know, something happens, you ruin a tire, and so you can go get a new tire. You're at the place, maybe the refrigerator goes out, and you can go get that new refrigerator. You don't have a lot of excess, but you're comfortable. You have enough. Or maybe you're at a place that's considered wealthy. Now, I want you to understand that, of course, man, wealth has everything to do with context and culture. I heard this week about a church, about people in Madagascar, and that it's about people, the average income is about $5 a month in Madagascar. And some of you need to hear, I mean, you may be dependent or hand to mouth and wondering how you're going to make it the next month. But if some in Madagascar just had your Starbucks money, I mean, it's all perspective, right? But maybe it is wealthy. I mean, you know, there's a pastor there that they just, another church provided a building for him and built him a building. Their monthly offering for their church is $16 a month. The pastor lives on $1 a month. I mean, so it's all kind of perspective. But, you know, here in the States, I mean, really, we have access to anything and everything we want. But whatever that line is, whatever that amount is, that dollar sign that you would consider wealthy. And then there's the set for life, right? I mean, when I'm thinking for set for life, I'm thinking guys like Bill Gates, right? I mean, Bill Gates right now is worth about $85 billion. Can anybody quantify that? I'm like, $85 billion. I mean, I'm dreaming last night. I think, supposedly everybody dreams. Sometimes you remember something. But I remember my dream last night, and it was like that Bill Gates gave our church a tenth of a tenth of a tenth of a tenth of his tenth, which would still be $5 million. You know what I mean? I mean, $85 billion, I would think you would consider that set for life, right? I mean, you know, go play golf every day, and if it's raining where you are, get in the jet and fly somewhere else and play golf. I mean, that'd be set for life. But see, when we talk about this stuff and we're talking about money, majority of the time we're talking about amounts. But I kind of want to flip the script on you just a little bit. And I want to talk about, kind of introduce and talk about our attitude. You see, just as we can be in one of those places, we can also be in a different area with our attitude, not just about money, but just how we live life. And so you are maybe number one, greedy. Greedy people, they take. They can't have enough. They always need more. They're, you know, they got to always have more and more. There's greedy. There's stingy. Stingy, of course, is those that maybe have a little bit, but they're going to keep it. I'm reminded, every time I think about greedy or stingy, I'm reminded of Proverbs 11:24 that says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. So greedy or stingy, or maybe when it comes to giving of your time, your talents, and your treasures, maybe you're obedient. And that's where a lot of us fall into, that we're obedient. We understand that when we give our tithe, that it's 10% of our income before taxes. And so we're obedient. And maybe even, I mean, sometimes it hurts, sometimes it's begrudgingly, but we're obedient. And so we understand giving. We kind of have a concept of it. But then there's another place of those that are willing, and the willing always enjoys. The willing always enjoys to give. Now, there are those that are wired that way. There are some that's their love, of the five love languages, their love language is that of giving and a presence. And that's, you know, how they show their love. They give, but it's something willing. I mean, when there's a need, you give. When a special offering, you give. Even if, you know, on Wednesday nights now, we're receiving offering for missions every Wednesday night, and it's always willing of putting a few dollars in there, whatever you may have. There's a willingness, and if you're willing, you tend to enjoy to give. But then there's a fifth place to be, and that is generous. And the generous are excited to give, right? I mean, the generous are always wanting to give time. I mean, whether it's their time, talents, or treasures, whatever that is, they're just willing and to give it. They're excited about it. And those that are in that, those generous, you know, the obedient or the stingy, are like, dude, calm down. It's just an offering. Right? I mean, it's like, okay, that guy's weird. Why is he so excited about this? The generous do not see their tithe, their missions, or whatever they give as a bill. But they give it readily and excitedly. And there is a sixth place, a sixth attitude, and that is that of sacrifice. And that's a whole different realm and place to be when you come to the place of giving sacrificially. Now, when you think about Bill Gates, and you think maybe that about $85 billion. Here recently, Bill Gates gave $106 million to begin this charity. Hello, we're a nonprofit. Right? $106 million. Now, how many of you think that's a lot of money? Right? If you think $106 million... The rest of you, if you're not raising your hand right now, we need to have a conversation. That, of where you can sow some seed in a ministry here. $106 million is a lot of money. But when you compare it to his $85 billion, when you look at that way, is Bill Gates in that, I'm not saying Bill Gates is not generous, but I'm saying in that situation, when you're worth $85 billion and you give $100 million, is $100 million generous? Well, you know what $100 million is of $85 billion? It is less than 0.0013%. And so say you make $1,000 a week and you tithe that 10% given your $100 a week, by math, you're more generous than Bill Gates was in that instance. I mean, that's a way to think about it, isn't it? I mean, do you remember the widow that gave her mite? She gave all that she had, and it's that Jesus recognized? Don't live in the amount category, but live in the attitude. We think if we have, listen to me, we think if we have the right amount, then we'll have the right attitude. If we have the right amount, then will have enough. If we have the right amount, then our prayers are going to be answered. If we have the right amount, then we're going to see things right and things are going to be easier. But God says if you have the right attitude, then you're going to have the right amount. And if we have the right, and when we have the right attitude, that's where it makes sense, where Paul says, I've been content when I had enough, and I was content when I had nothing. Because it's all about the attitude that we have. If you live by the amount line, you've learned that generosity is about what you have. If you live by the attitude line, then you've learned that God provides. Is anybody in the house this morning? And so as I was thinking about this, I was thinking there's really different areas we live our life. I need some of the guys' help real quick. Anybody. We need help kind of moving this stuff over. Don't you like it when we do illustrations like Kids Church? So we need the barrel over here. The barrel, the set in the barn. I'll make room. Let's put the barrel in the middle. Y'all thought I was joking when I said we'd have a whiskey barrel this morning, huh? And then those baskets over there. I can just set them right here. That's good. So the first scripture I want you to turn to or look at on the screen is chapter 1 and verse 6. Because what I want to talk to you about this morning and what I want to kind of bring it home with is that, you see, there's many of us in the house that maybe you're in one of several places. And maybe as I was reading these about where you are financially, maybe you are one that is buried in debt. Maybe you are one that you have some sort of wealth in your life and you're comfortable, you have enough. But it's not so much about the amount. I'm going to tell you something. When we are good, if you're on the end that you're dependent or buried in debt, if you'll get the attitude right, you'll see your life be transformed and being a good steward, and you'll pull out from that side of the scale. You see, our math is that when we give our 10%, I'm being without that, but it's more of an investment. Why? Scripture teaches us that we're supposed to lay up treasures in heaven. Is anybody with me this morning? And so if we see it right, you'll begin to see yourself move from one end of that scale to the other. Now, y'all know where I'm going with this. Am I saying you give $100, man, you just bless God, you're going to get a $10,000 check in the mail? No, I'm not saying that. That is heresy. We don't give to get. It's more than money. It's about our attitude and who the Lord is in our life. That's what it comes down to. But Scripture is clear. If we obey. And so in chapter 1 and verse 6, we read this. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. Listen to this. He who earns wages and does not put them into a bag with holes. I mean, have you ever felt that way? I mean, you ever felt like you're putting all that in there, and it's just like your bag just has a hole in it? You know, it's always something. As a matter of fact, you know, the very convicting part of this passage in Haggai, it's really focusing in on the condition that the house of God was in. And what the Lord told them, he's saying, because my house is in ruin and it's not repaired and isn't in the right shape, it doesn't matter what you do, I'm going to blow it away, is what he's telling them. He said, whatever you build, I'm going to blow it away. I mean, when we live in life with holes in it, let me see if I can do this real quick. I wanted to get wheat seed, but I couldn't get wheat, so we got deer corn. Because I can use that anyway. I can use deer corn at the farm. Where's my scoop? Where's it at? Oh, here we go. So, we got the scoop. Yes. So here we go. We got our money bag here. We're gonna have a mess to clean up this afternoon. I'm glad I have a staff. I'm joking, Pastor Larry. Kind of. This is really what it's like. Right? You're like, I don't know if I can give. Old timers had a saying. I don't know if Sister Margaret might remember this, but I remember my nanny. She said, if you don't tithe, God will take it out of your hide. That's the way so many of us live, isn't it? Isn't that where so many of us are at? I don't want to see you live that way. The reason why we talk to you about giving your tithe and giving the missions, yeah, does it come to the storehouse and does it help us turn the lights on and keep it warm or cool in here and repair air conditioners and help me be full-time to minister to your needs? Yeah, it does. That's true. But the benefit is far greater for you. Far greater. Because if you'll learn to do this, that made a bigger mess than I thought. And we're not even done yet. Let's look at the next scripture. The next passage. I want to just go through really quick. And it's in 1 Kings chapter 17. And many of you are going to remember this story, but let's just look at these few verses real quick. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. There was a lady and her son, and she was about to make a famine. She's about to make their last meal and die. 1 Kings 17. Elijah said to her, do not fear, and go do as you have said. But listen, but first make me a little cake. And bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of our flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty. So what's happened is they were out of food. They were out. They had no way to get more. She had a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, and she's going to fry up their last cake, and then they were going to die. That what was her plan. And here comes the man of God and says, no. Make me a cake first. Now that sounds pretty arrogant. Does that not sound pretty selfish? I know there's some mamas in the house that you'd be like, say, huh? Right? Not this mama hen. I don't know. I don't know who you think you are. The jar of flour, listen to this, shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day of the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither the jug of oil become empty according to the word of the Lord that was spoken by Elijah. And so you got to think what happened. Every day she went to that barrel. Every day she went to that barrel. And she'd look in there, and there would be a scoop of flour and enough oil. And man, she'd scoop out that flour, and she'd get that oil, and she'd make her cake. And she'd say, she'd call her son, come over here. I know I'm kind of reading between the lines. And so she'd say, son, come over here. Look in there. I just took out what we needed, and look, there's what we need for tomorrow. You see, what we're seeing here is part of that giving to the Lord. And so what she did, she had her little bit left, and she thought, you know what? Because here's the thing, is that it's all she had. And she's like, well, I don't know how she processed it. Maybe she said, well, we're going to die hungry anyway. It's only one more meal. So let's give it. And so she gave it. And now she didn't have to worry about the hole no more. You see, the principle of tithing is that when we give that 10% and we give back to God what's His, He'll protect the rest. The reason why so many times our bags have holes in them is because if I hold on to something so tight, I'm going to keep it, it's mine. I'm going to hold it tight, it's mine. Eventually, a hole is going to be worn in that bag. Are you following me this morning? And so she had just enough, but she gave to the Lord what He commanded. Do you hear me? She had just enough, but she gave to the Lord what He... She wasn't losing it. She had just enough because she gave to God what was His. She gave to the Lord what was His, and she had enough. She always had that flour in that barrel and that oil in that flask until the Lord sent the blessing. Until the Lord ended the drought and brought the rain. The Lord sustained her. Is anybody catching that? You be faithful in the drought and give to God what His. He will get you through the drought to the place of harvest. That's what God will do for you. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Let's go. We got bags and barrels, and we got baskets. Are you ready for this one? It's going to get good. See, if the source of your financial, you remember what I said, if the source of your financial strength is your own personal well, you're going to have bags with holes in it. That's what you're going to have. If that is your source, you risk running empty, dry. The source of blessing comes from the Father. And then we just see it kicked up a notch. And baskets, Matthew chapter 14, there's 7 verses here. I want to read quickly. When He went to shore, He saw the great crowd, and He had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to Him and said, "This is the desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go in the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to Him, "We have only 5 loaves and here 2 fish." And He said, "Bring them here to Me." And then He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, He looked up to heaven, said a blessing, then He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So maybe, you know, some say 15,000 because of all the women and children. Some say 20,000, but we know there was more than 5,000 there. I mean, you know the story, right? So He takes this fish, and matter of fact, in another gospel, it tells us it came from this boy's sack lunch. And I'm so sure, I'm positive, matter of fact, that the disciples went walking around and they see a little boy with a sack lunch and they're like, "Give me that." I don't think that's what happened. I think maybe little kids, he did as little kids do. That's all that he had. And he brings it up, and he says, "I have this. Mama gave me this." You know, we go on any kind of trip, right? And Angela's like the just-in-case pack person. Anybody know what that is? That, you know, you pack everything and the kitchen sink just in case. And there's so many times we're going on a trip, and I'm trying to leave town. I'm like, okay, do I go get a U-Haul? Do I go rent a 24-foot truck now just to go to Lubbock for a night? You know, but she's going to have that. I cannot tell you how many times we've been on a trip somewhere, and I'm like, you know that thing you pack for just in case? You know, right? I mean, mamas know, right? And this mama knew to pack her son a lunch. When, what were the other 20,000 people thinking? Anyway, so he gives his lunch. You know, this last week, Kaylee came to me. We were talking about her allowance. She had $10. And we intentionally give them to them in increments that they can give their tithe. Hint, parents. Train them when they're young. And so she comes to me and she's like, Daddy, I want to give it all to BGMC. And I was like, well, that's sweet, honey. And you can do that if you want to. I was like, well, you first have to give your tithe. And she goes, what's my tithe? And I was like, well, here's your $10. Here's your tithe. She goes, okay. She goes, I'm going to give the rest to BGMC. I was like, well, you can. You can do that. I was like, well, what if we doubled the amount you give to your tithe and give that to missions and then see what you have left over? And she's okay, we'll do that, you know. And so she has her tithe money. She has her missions money, her BGMC money. And then she's looking at the rest of her money. You know what she said? And I tell you what, it was a sermon worth 1,000 words. She looked at what she had left. She goes, wow, that's a lot. How many times have we given? I think, oh, dear Lord, that's not enough. You know why? Because it's more about an amount than an attitude. And so when we move from this to giving, being generous, that boy gave what he had, and it turned into baskets. And we don't know, but I just have to assume, I just have to think that our God's a giving God. He does things in a right way, in a right manner. I don't know how many baskets, but I'm thinking that boy had to lug some baskets home. Have you ever thought about what they did with the 12 baskets? I'm thinking some of them went back to the house. I'm thinking Jesus said, okay, disciples, load up a few of those baskets. We need to take it to his mom's house. Come on now. And so let me show you what this looks like. So we're going to pretend the corn's in the whiskey barrel. I just like saying whiskey in church, sorry. And so we're like, this is the amount that we have, right? This is what we have. And when we learn to give that 10%, and then we learn to give to that missions or offering. And we learn how to give this away. Then maybe we see somebody on the sidewalk that needs a burger and fries. And we learn what generosity is. I want to tell you, you'll see God multiply the baskets. You see, the key of the kid giving is lunch. A big part of that is that he gave to meet a need. Do you hear me? You understand what I'm talking about? But see, the Lord tells us something. Now, at any moment in time, we think we don't have enough to give to that tithe. I'm going to tell you something. What you'll see in your life is you'll go back to the barrel living, and then you'll go back to the bag living. Whenever you withhold this, you'll go back to the barrel living and eventually go back to the bag living with holes in it. Remember, we're not talking about just amount, right? We're talking about attitude. But then look what we opened up with it, and we're going to close with it. In Deuteronomy, see, if we get to the basket place, and we learn, what have I told you before? Not to eat our seed. And that's why I wanted to eat seed. But to not, and what that means is that when it starts to multiply in our life, instead of, matter of fact, I'm reminded of another story about barns in the New Testament, and it's about this wealthy guy, right? And he got more and more and more, and so he built bigger and bigger, bigger barns. And the Lord spoke to him and said, you fool, don't you know that I'm going to take your life tonight? I mean, my vernacular is pretty much what happens. See, if we hoard that and we eat our seed, we miss out about what God can do with it. Because what God wants to do with it, he wants to take you from bag living, from barrel living, from basket living, to barn living. And that's what we see in Deuteronomy chapter 28. It tells us, in the way we started off this morning in our message, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Verse 8, then the Lord commanded the blessing on you and your barns and all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You see, there's a New Testament verse. And it shows just about how much attitude has to do with it. I want to read verse 37 first, but it's Luke 6, 37 and 38. Judge not, and you'll not be judged. Condemn not, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For the measure you use to give will be the measure you receive.